That is, we are laboring for an expectation. Listen to me, there have been people who labored for this expectation and they did not see it. Do you get my point? It is not because God is unfaithful, but because the Bible said that there's what the Bible calls the fullness of time. In their lifetime, that time was not full. After all, Abraham walked with God, and most of the promises that God, all right, made to him, he did not witness. Once he witnessed the birth of Isaac, and Isaac had grown up, he had gone through the sacrifice of Isaac and the resurrection of Isaac, figuratively speaking now, and God had blessed him in every way. He knew he could depart in peace, that everything that God had promised him would most certainly come to pass. Are you getting my point? So there are people who have labored for these things, and we are stepping in to fulfill our own part. Like Paul said, there is what is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that each person must do his own part to fill that thing in. So that's where I see life. Are you getting my point? Now, when you see life like that, it helps you. You know, I said earlier, it helps good decisions come out of you. I don't want to say help you make decisions. It makes good decisions come out of you. It's a matter of the information that you have had. So when God appeared to this man and said, don't go down to Egypt. I'm giving you a hope. I'm giving you a promise. The man believed God and he stayed there. Now, let's just read further down. Now, I don't know. I don't want to say much about the fact that he had the same problem that his father had concerning his wife, thinking that people might take his wife from him. But let's just go on down to things that the fulfillment of God's promise in verse 12. That's what I want to go to. He said, now Isaac sold in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Now, so this is the fulfillment of the promise. In verse 12, he said, now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Because at this point, he was still living, of course, amongst the Philistines. All right, now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. What they were trying to do was to discourage him from living amongst them. So they said to him, go away from us, for you are too powerful for us. And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gera. And then he settled there. Now, what I just want to bring out from here is that the promise of God to him was fulfilled. That is, despite the fact that, now don't forget one thing here, please, I want you to notice something. This man was in the land of the Philistines, and the famine was there also. Are you getting my point? And then he wanted to move down to Egypt, and I believe that a lot of Philistines had also gone down to Egypt, but God said he shouldn't go. And then the Bible said he now sowed in that land and reaped in the same year. It was emphatic. That is the same year that the man reaped 100-fold. The reason was that God blessed him and the man became rich. And then he said he continued to grow richer. Now, this is how he became richer. Now, I will analyze that briefly. But first, let me establish this point. That you see, when a man walks, you know, people do things for different reasons. You know, I've said that one before. That is, if you see a man in the afternoon, it can be because something is chasing him or he's the one chasing something. You know, you really cannot say. Now, there are people who stay behind and refuse to go to Egypt because nobody gave them the opportunity. Do you follow the point I'm making? Are you getting my point? And then, but there are those who could have gone to Egypt, but they refuse to go because of the word of God. All right? And they walk according to a promise of God. Now, let me say this to you. To such people, the power of God is made manifest. He said, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That is, when people make decisions based upon their knowledge of God, God always rewards it. What they will experience is a manifestation of the power of God different from that which is common. I'm bringing out the point here that you see, listen. In this life, the Bible said it like this in the book of Malachi. He said, then you will return and descend between them that fear God and them that did not fear him. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. That is, when you do things because of your fear of God, all right, in life, the people around will eventually, now they may not want to acknowledge, they may not even understand how come, because you see, stories, most of the stories you read, like there's this book I was reading recently, Abramovich, all right, the story about the the Chelsea owner. When I read the whole story, when you give me such books, I want to read it with spiritual eyes. I just realized that this was just a story written from a distance. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's a story from a distance. People are just watching, asking a few questions. They really don't, there's next to no spiritual lesson in the book. The reason being that it's a story written from what? A distance. That is, if you watch Isaac from outside, you don't understand why he reaped 100-fold in the same year. Because you are watching him from outside. But this point I want to make to the Isaacs, I'm not talking about those watching from outside now. I'm talking to who? The Isaacs. To the Isaacs, what God will do to you is that he will manifest his power so much that people around will notice. Now listen, I expect Christians to think like this as I'm saying this. When you make decisions for God, because of your knowledge of God and your fear of God, in life, every day, you must expect tangible results. Listen, if people do business, they invest 10,000 naira and get 1 million in 10 years, expect that in 1 year. I'm not saying because you have wisdom on natural things more than the other people. I am saying that in the same year, when Isaac sows in that land, according to the word of God, then God pours upon him something that makes him have 100-fold. Now, let me explain something to you here. A lot of times when this thing is quoted, people quote it like this. Preachers use it a lot, to explain that if you give an offering, then you will reap a 100-fold. Now, listen, if you give offering, you will reap 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. All right? But I want to just tell you something literal. Here, that was an application. What he was saying here was real and real. Are you getting my point? Isaac sowed in that land means Isaac dug and put seed into the earth. Isaac was also sacrificing. But so this is not the Isaac sacrifice. This is what I want to make. People must learn to invest in that land. I'm not going to America and sit down and you're looking like a mugu. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Just walk up and down the road knows that blessing will come. Listen, my friend. Isaac did not go to America, all right? But he didn't stay idle, hanging around the Philistines and say, I'm a man of God. Just watch. No, Isaac did what? He sowed in that land. That's the point I'm trying to, I want you to understand. Because sometimes we preach a very imbalanced gospel. I thank God for these days that people are beginning to redefine some things. Because for years, a number of years, maybe over the last 10 years, something was very popular amongst preachers. Give and naira will rain from heaven. Now, people preach give, and listen to me. I believe absolutely in giving. I don't believe in tithing because I think it's an insult to the believer. If you start telling him that you're owing God 10%, I say, ask God, he can't tell you I'm owing him 10%. People sometimes, like I said, sometimes you pass impressions across without intending to do that, all right? But because you never said the other side of it, the people had only one half of the story. Is that okay? This is what I'm making. Isaac was giving sacrifices. That is correct. It's good for Christians to sow in that land. But sowing in the scriptures like this was talking about physical investing in that land. That is why they were saying that there's no rain. You know what I mean there's no rain? Power generation is very expensive. That's what I mean there's no rain. That is, they are not feeding you. Look, if you go to Malawi, do you know in Malawi, their NEPA will just give you light and your company will never stop working. So we can't invest in Nigeria because things are very bad. The NEPA also, do you know you have to tanker to use, you have to bring from 9th mile to your factory? My God. No, these things like that don't work. In fact, diesel for the tanker, do you know diesel is 918 naira a liter? Wow. There's famine in this land. That's what they are saying. Are you getting my point? So when you say Isaac sowed in that land, what we are saying is that despite all these negative stories, Isaac still took his money and invested it in that land. Isaac looked at his profession. He was a farmer, that kind of thing. And therefore, he went to the fields, bought fields, and planted therein. Despite the fact that he was saying that, you are just going to waste your crop, your seeds. Rain is not going to fall. Now, another thing I believe is that when the rain began to fall, this is the interesting part, it did not only fall on Isaac's field. You know where it also fell? I believe that. He fell on, now this is my own conjecture, right? He fell on all the fields around, except that the others had not planted anything. Do you get the point? So when blessings began to come, they were not positioned to possess it. There's something, another thing I want to show you before I go on. Now look at this. He said that the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Now let's just develop that a little bit. Now I said this earlier, as a Christian, if people invested 10,000 and over the next 10 years they multiplied it to 1 million, expect to do it in 1 year. Do you get my point? Look, Christianity must have what? A hope. I think I gave this illustration when I came back from our convention. Was I at this investment forum in the fellowship, and people are supposed to start paying money in and all of that. So I told one of them, I said, this thing is not started so that people can have money. Like so. And I, when I was speaking, I spoke. I said, listen, guys, if you are joining this thing, there are at least 50 people to start. I said, if you are joining, any money you are putting in, please put it in and write it off. I'm not saying your money will vanish, but I'm saying that don't start checking. Say, brethren, if you have not paid us dividends in the last 1 year, is there any, the money we have, I said, no, please don't do that. I said, because the aim, all right, is not just to get you money. It will come. I said, but the first aim is to build power. You said by power. That is, you multiply the money in there until the company that you have founded, the number of you that are starting is about 50 people. And that's become so powerful. I told the guy who's acting as the chairman of the board, I said, one day I want to take a flight from Enugu to Lagos. And I want to fly the airline owned by this investment company. Do you understand my point? Now, so one of the guys who's on the board there, too, a young man, all right? So one day he called me. I said, listen, in 10 years, I think, was it 10 years I said? I can't remember for sure now. The thing has escaped me a bit. I said, in 10 years, I expect the total holding of that company to have crossed ₦1 billion. He said, sir, I'm into investments and multiplying and creating wealth. He said, I'm not putting in as much money as a group we are putting in. And I intend to do $1 billion in less than 10. Did you hear what I said? The young man said, I intend to do $1 billion in less than 10. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, see, Isaac sold in that land. That's what I'm discussing. All right? And the same year reaped 100-fold. The Philistines around did not reap 100-fold. So as a Christian, so when that young man said that, I said, this guy is in the spirit. And actually, I pray for him because of that. Because Paul said, you know what I found out? You know, if somebody is doing very badly, you know, something happened today. And I said, I should pray for this guy. Somebody else, all right? Another fellow. He was talking about the fellow was discussing with me about some things on faith, on his faith, his personal faith. And when I saw his faith was being lifted, all right, I wanted to pray for him. Then he don't know me. I said, this guy, you are very foolish. I was talking to myself. I said, you're a very foolish person. I said, how come I'm very foolish? I was talking to myself. That if this guy didn't tell you he was doing, his faith was going on, you would not remember to pray for him. Now, when his faith was going on, was that not why when should I have prayed? Then the scripture jumped into my head. I said, no, not so. That one is good. But my reaction is natural. That's spiritually natural. Paul said, when we heard of your faith, we did not stop praying for you. I said, hey, I'm not alone. It's just like Paul also. That is why your faith is increasing. It encourages us to pray for you some more. So when that young man told me that on the phone, now, he joined amongst people that I pray for specifically. I was into Derek Prince. I told you about it today. Earlier. That I was into Derek Prince. You know, that's not, you see, if you don't buy CDs, I'm not saying Pastor Banky's own. That one you should. Anyway, if you come here, something must be wrong with you mentally if you don't ever buy the CDs you come to listen to. No, really. I don't believe you are broke. Don't tell me you are broke. Is that okay? Even if you don't know where to listen to it, go and listen, buy it and file it. One day you should buy. You will soon buy a CD player. And that's how it works. When God has seen the 10th one you have filed, God will say, now, wow. Now, Gabriel, find me one CD player there. Michael, all right, collect that very big one from that idiot who's a thief on the other side. Come and give it to this my guy. He said, why? Because look at his, now he's filing CDs. He has nowhere to play it. Listen, that's how God works. So those days, before CD players became very, very common. One brother, my friend, Dr. Dushata, he told me that he started buying CDs now. Not now that Two Face is selling at $150. I mean, with all the They jamming, he's jamming inside. Those days to buy one decent. First time I bought my Keremu, I bought it for 700 naira. What's it called? Mary. I paid like 800 naira for each of those CDs. At that time, no exaggeration, I was earning less than one fifth of what I earn today. Not one fifth. Less than one fifth. Do you understand? That time it was difficult to buy CDs. CD players were even more difficult. Those days we bought them by praying and by believing God. You prayed and believed. It was like moving a mountain. So this brother, he said what he used to do is that he always bought CDs. He always bought CDs. He said he's buying his CD. He'll buy one CD and say, God, this is a seed. And I told that seed, you have to know how you use it. It's not seed out. It's not every time you throw seed out. There are seeds you put inside your pocket and be examining them as they are growing. That's what I'm saying. He said he'll buy one CD and put it and say, God, that is a seed towards my music set. And finally, one day, God arranged money. And he bought an Iowa 3-CD loader. Oh, my God. And we used to, everybody would go to his house to sit down and listen to music. That CD of the Red Prince, I listened to it, I don't know how many times. All right? Maybe like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, I don't know. Yesterday, I was listening to it again. It was as if I'd not heard it before. So don't say I've heard this one. Do you get my point? God blessed me over the years like that. Good enough, here, we make our CDs available at the ridiculous price of 60 naira. This man came to ask me one day, said, sir, it's not possible. I'm sure you're not covering the cost. I had to explain to him before his mind came to rest that 60 naira, we are still covering the cost, but then barely, actually. Is that okay? We pay for multiply and all of that. So I think everybody should take an advantage of it. Sometimes I make my own personal collection available. I don't know how many people used it last time, but please, always do that. And, just it will help you. You can't listen to one message and say you have heard it. No, you can't. I've never. Bishop Oedipo's Gospel of Abundance, I think I listened to that more than 70 times. And I'm not exaggerating. In fact, I think that's an underestimate. Do you understand? That's how I do my things. A lot of the one I shared with you, Inheritance of the New Man, Pastor Podju, I must have done that more than 40 times by now. And I've not stopped. Tomorrow I'll still see it again. I'll put it in again. I start it again. And sometimes the thing is as if you have not heard this thing before. Are you getting my point? Now, let me get back to what the reference was saying, that CD. I just want to use that one to encourage us. So in that CD, he was saying that you see, he quoted from, somewhere in Joshua, anyway, where they went to the Battle of Ai, all right? I think Joshua 13, all right? And describing the fact that Joshua pointed his spear, all right, at the city, and he kept his hand up until they had finished beating them down completely. And the Bible says it was because his hand was up throughout. So it was using that to illustrate the power of prayer. That some people will pray sometimes and say that God bless all our missionaries in, for example, now I'm putting my own words, in Rwanda. He said, he doesn't believe that those prayers do anything. He said, because they are too widespread. That prayers are meant to be pointed. Do you understand? That, they are meant to be pointed, having a specific, all right, direction. So for me, I began this when I was talking about people's faith being built up. All right, when that man said that thing, I found another place to point prayer, and I know I witnessed these things. No, really, really, really. This is my life. All right, give me another 20 years. When I start telling stories, Ken Hagin no go even get half the stories to tell. Are you getting my point? Because I'm beginning to observe now. All right, the pointing of prayer. I know areas I'm pointing, and I know things that will come out of there. Do you understand? So when he said that thing, I said, Paul, just to add what Paul said. Paul said that when I heard of your faith, I did not cease to pray for you. Are you getting my point? So when that young man declared that thing and I heard it, then I commenced specifically. I used to pray for him for other things before, but that one, I began to pray that this thing that this man has said, he will do it. And this is now to explain to us that as Christians, we must do what? Expect great things. You must stop using the indices of the society to decide how your own life will go. They said that can't be done in 10 years. Good. Said now, you are one person that will show them it will be done in 5. Are you getting the point I'm making? I mean, reach for it. Reach for it. Then God will have something to give to you. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, it's so important. Now the amount, I said that Isaac became very wealthy. We have established before that when God wants to bless somebody, like when he told Abraham, I will give you this land, that the conversion of the land to Abraham was going to be legal. Are you getting my point? All right. So when Isaac became very wealthy, we know one thing for sure. His increase in wealth was very legal. It's just in keeping with God's order. When Abraham was going to get a tomb to bury his wife, he paid for it. Though this is part of the land that God said, I'm giving to you and your descendants. Yet he bought it at that particular point in time. When Isaac was getting wealthy here, let me tell you among the things that happened. There are many things. One, I'll give you just two. One was that the man increased in 1 year 100-fold. The following year, his faith was enlarged. Are you getting my point? And he sowed again in that land. But at that time, you can be sure that many people too, they have been encouraged to sow in the land. That is one. He kept on sowing because out of your fruit, there is seed. So out of his harvest, he put in some more seed. But there's a second thing that happened. If you go and read the story of Joseph, when Joseph took over as prime minister, Pharaoh was just another king, a very good one, a great one, but just another one, not known for wealth. Do you understand? Then, the first 7 years, Pharaoh was investing national, you know, those days, king and national are the same thing. All right? So the king's treasury, money was being taken from the king's treasury to buy up excess grain. Excess supply was being taken from the king, was being bought up by the king's money. Then at the end of the 7th year, when people began to lack, at the end of the 7th year, all right, what now happened was that Joseph now began to sell. And the more the years passed, the higher the prices. Are you getting me? And then the more the years passed, the less the people had to use to buy. So they first bought their money. Money finished. They bought their livestock. Livestock finished. They bought with their land. Land finished. They bought with themselves. At the end of this 14th year, that is 7 years of famine, the whole of Egypt belonged to Pharaoh. Are you getting the point? Now, just think about that. Now, let's now bring that one down to this particular situation. Now, one of the ways Isaac, I believe, now this is my perception, all right, increased in wealth was that when he reaped 100-fold that same year, people began to sell land to him. Are you getting me? Because they were now poor. But he was rich. Are you getting my point? I believe he began to... That was why at the point they had to drive him. When they say, you have become too mighty for us, you are controlling more resources in this place than anybody else. Just because in 1 year, he increased the 100-fold. Why am I telling this story? I've explained to you that you are talking about redeeming a land. Eh? You must read this kind of scripture. Because one of the things that God does for people, all right, you have refused to go into Egypt, go down to Egypt because of your faith in God and the word of God to you. And then God is increasing you, then you must know that it is not land. Now, let us now back and be big and feel like big guys. No. God is saying, wait. Notice what happened to Isaac? He continued to grow richer. It's not as if he was sowing alone. From the product of his sales, of his sowing, of the fruit of his ground, he took and began to trade with the Philistines and take over what used to belong to the Philistines. You are getting my point? No, I don't know why I'm explaining this in details, but Christians must understand that. Because this is how, you know, I'm talking about ministry of wealth. After our you know, we talk about pursuit of holiness. Then at the end of pursuit of holiness, I was supposed to talk about money and holiness. But I now left it. I said we'll come back to it later. And then we now started talking about the law of faith. At the end of the law of faith, I'm going back to the ministry of wealth. Because there's a reason why I have to explain that. It's so important we get grasp some things. Because otherwise, all the faith and prayer you have prayed for the country, eh? It will be like God wants to heal somebody, he refused to collect it. And I told that story before. It's so important. That's why we must read this. Isaac continued to grow stronger because he learned how to handle what God gave to him. I hope you get that point. I hope you understand that. I just need to emphasize that. Now, please, let's... I have to stop now, please. I don't have the time again. Maybe when I come again, I may say some things about the remaining part of chapter 26. Now, we're now going to 27. All right? Let me stop there, please. Let me stop there. And let me say this to you before I close. Please, though, if you read down from 26 and further down, initially these people had tried, before even get down there, if you read around that verse from 18, They began to quarrel over wells. Isaac will leave a well. They quarrel over it. They quarrel over it, he'll leave it. They quarrel over another one, he'll leave it. Then finally, he got to a particular place and dug a well there. And then he said, God has blessed us here because there was no longer quarrel over that land. God has made room for us. All right? And all of that. He called the place Rehoboth. Now, but then the people were quarreling with him and using style to drive him away. Eventually, they chased him down one day and said, oh God, please come. We have realized that you are too great for us. Are you getting my point? Therefore, let us make a covenant with you. That was Abimelech, the same thing he did with his father. What am I trying to say? See, this is how it works. How many of you know Dangote? You know one of the reasons why PDP can misbehave the way they misbehave? One of, there are many reasons, apart from the fact they are the ruling party, is that Dangote is supporting them. And Dangote, don't say, why are you supporting them? Listen, he didn't tell them to go and rig election. Are you getting my point? He made a lot of investments under their reign. Therefore, it makes sense that his investments will do well if they continue to rule. And he didn't hide it. I'm a supporter of PDP. I'm not a member of PDP. I'm a supporter of PDP. They have been good for business in Nigeria. And whether you like it or not, this last 8 years was good for business. You can be among the chronic grumblers who never see anything good in anything. You're on your own. Yeah, you get my point? But the fact is that the climate for business in Nigeria has not really ever been better than this. If you talk about the 60s, they are talking about when they had cocoa boards and all of that, it was a refined form of socialism they were practicing and collectivization. Are you getting my point? Government boards bought everything. Just that you were still enjoying the effect of the British rule. That's why you didn't realize that actually you were being stifled. The first time Nigeria began to break into increase was when life became most difficult for people in this country under SAP. Things became very tight, but then deregulation began, and those who were not used to just collecting salary, all right, they didn't feel the tightness. They stepped out, they became millionaires. All those who were chronic salary collectors became very, very broke. Are you getting my point? Now, this is why I'm giving this story about Dangote and all of that. Now, we are talking about government, that is like the nation being redeemed by the power of Christ Jesus. That's what I'm coming to. This again is God's plan for his people, if they are really going to redeem the land. If you think it's the pastors that will redeem the land, count me out too. Are you getting my point? All this one of, look, I like Nde Bakari. He's my favorite minister. You understand my point? Because the guy is nobody's friend. He will prophesize against you and he'll say it on TV. And nothing will happen. Now, I'm trying to bring up something there. Don't think that government, ministers will go and lobby and sit in Aso Rock and say, sir, what do you have for the Christians in this country? And they say, all right, what I will do for people is that I will make sure no mosque is built in front of your churches. And then you can do your crusade all the time. Listen, my friend, that's still a beggar's mentality. Are you getting my point? You know what power mentality is? Let me tell you, that's what happened to Isaac. Abimelech, ruler of that region, came and said, sorry, don't be angry with me. If you read it further down, he said, is there anything? He said, yes, your people took my well unjustly. He said, why didn't you tell me? Do you follow my point? He said, your people took my wells unjustly. He said, no, I didn't know about it. Why didn't you report to me? That is, the guy realized that it's very important now that I don't offend this man. Do you get my point? Because he has seen the power of the blessedness upon him. That's why I use Dangote as an example. Are you getting me? What does God want to do with his people? They will become rich and become very wealthy. Not, oh God, I always say this, not so that they cannot drive on the road and say, me too, now I'm a big man. No, so that covenants of righteousness can now be made with them. I've told you that the way Jesus takes over is through his church. Do you get my point? You know, I'm so happy we studied these scriptures today. You know why? I finally got a template for my next series of teachings on the vow of poverty. You know, is that the title? Yes, the vow of poverty, right? Yes, it's so important. The vow of poverty means that even when this has happened, you know it's a ministry. The way Pastor Banky is preaching, are you getting my point? So am I having negotiations with the Senate on how this price of cement should come down? Are you getting my point? Otherwise, I will. What's the opposite of invest? Divest, Abby? is that the word? No, it's divest. Otherwise, I'm going to divest from this area. And the government say, no, please.
Do you know, look, no matter what happens in First Bank, you know they can't collapse. Even if they want to collapse, say, no, we are going to ruin this bank. The government will just arrest all of you, put you in jail. Do you know why? If First Bank collapses, Nigerian banking sector is dead. First Bank, Union Bank, especially those two banks. Forget Zenith, these are new entrants who are still begging for money. To First Bank, Union Bank, those two. UBA has lost name now. If it's those days, UBA too. But now, if UBA collapses, nobody will knock a head over it. But First Bank, they can't. Because they stand as like the Atlas, no remember Atlas, and Hercules of the banking sector. They are like the greatest faith people have in Nigerian banking sector. Government will bend rules to keep them standing. So they watch you start misbehaving, Charles Soludo will call you. Say, resign. Give me your resignation letter. I know I'm not the chairman of the board, but out. You are gone. If you don't, they will sit down and make a new law. So just to us to sack you. Because the economy depends, now you know what I mean by depends, on the integrity of certain sectors. That's what it means to be powerful. No, I'm tired of Christians who go to church to pray, God, in the name of Jesus, all my enemies, the blood of Jesus, the whole night. At the end of the day, they go to First Bank and say, okay, any job for the boys? You are still begging. The beggar's mentality. Listen, I'm infusing you with a winner's mentality. You get my point? A ruler's mentality. So when you are dreaming, these are the kind of dreams you'll be having. And to him that believes, nothing will be impossible. You hear me so?
Yes.
Listen, you know, I'm a connected man. You know I'm a connected man. And when I'm talking about connected man, it's people like you I'm looking at. No, really. In 20 years' time, Jesus Christ. I've ended my message, all right? I'm just gisting. My message don't end. In 20 years' time, I will be incredibly powerful. And I won't be on any board. In fact, God remind me that I said I won't be on any board. I won't go for any board meeting. I'm not a board man. But the people that I have fed with the word of God, which has enlarged in their lives and he has Isaacized their land, you know what I say? There will be so many that if I drop my hand like this before I reach floor, they don't pat down and say, okay, why your hand come down? I say, guys, please, like, let me put my hand down. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. I'm persuaded though. In short, I feel like I'm floating. I feel like I'm floating. My head is in the clouds, Jesus Christ. Those who know me, man, they know people. No, I'm. You know what I'm saying? All these young people I'm talking to, they are the ones I'm seeing. You know? God, please don't ever introduce me to men who are passing away. In Jesus' name, I don't want to know former governors and former presidents and former. No, is it? I don't even want to know governors yet. You know, let me tell you, when your turn comes, you know how we are going to do rulership in Nigeria? Let me prophesy. We'll do it the American style. What do I mean? When, what's this guy's name? The mayor of New York after Rudy Giuliani. Eh? Bloomberg, thank you. When Bloomberg had finished setting up his enterprise, he had made money. Gavin was a very rich man. He had blessed people and had acquired wealth for himself. He stepped back and said, let me go and use the same knowledge to help our civil society. Do you know that's what America is founded upon? It is not as if they worship rich people. That's why they make them rulers. They say, this is a free market economy. If you can't make money in this economy, you're not a good administrator. That's what they are saying. I don't know whether you get my point. It's not as if they worship wealth. Now, you get, no, of course, there will always be aberrations to the fundamental spiritual truth. You are getting my point? Listen, the Puritans, all right, laid the foundation for the economic principles of America. Capitalism was founded upon the understanding of spiritual principles of the Puritans. That is, men who won't cheat, who won't steal, who won't defraud their neighbor, who won't look at another woman apart from their wives. They founded capitalism. They didn't mean it to use to defraud the rich, the poor, all right? And make they understood the spiritual principles. Listen, the rich gets richer not because he's wicked. That Jesus said, to him that hath, more will be given. There is a sign of his ability to administer. So what they now, at the end of the day, when you are done, you mustn't die with your wealth. If you die with it, they tax it heavily. So what they do is that they allow you gather wealth while you are alive. And say, when you are dying, give it back to the society. So this story of give it back, what's his name? Second richest man in the world. Warren Buffett. Took 80% of his money and gave to Bill Gates Foundation. It wasn't the first. John D. Rockefeller, all those guys, they've been doing it for years. There was one man, I forgot his name, already in time 100 at the turn of the century. The guy said, quoting one of those Puritan statements, that if you died rich, you died poorly. The man was a very wealthy man. He kept, the last few years of his life, he kept giving and giving until the money finished. He said, that's how to die. Bill Gates said he will never give his children the disadvantage of inheriting wealth. I will give you money, I will say to you, bye-bye, then the rest of the money, we know what to do with it. That's why they build schools, university research, all those, they are funded by private wealth. That's how the Puritans designed it. So, you find their rulers tend to be wealthy people, not because they worshipped money. No, it's because if you have been an astute administrator in a free society like theirs, it will have translated to wealth for you. Are you getting my point? So that's how men step down after creating wealth, empowering multitudes. They will now step down and say, now let's give it to other people to carry on. Why we use that experience to come and order our society? Then the man runs for president. Are you getting my point? And one of the criteria is that, look, listen, come on, I built this thing from zero to here. You know the kind of person I am. All this while, I never evaded tax. Ask my workers, which one of them I defrauded? Which one did I not give my money, his proper due on time? Ask them. So when you check, you vote for him that this guy will be a good governor. This guy will be a good president. Not the one that we enthrone crooks and bastards in our society. Men who can't return to their villages, that their villagers will denounce them. Because of all the atrocities, the murders they committed. You are senator over a district here. You can't come home. Come home now. Whether they won't smoke you. Things don't change until people like you are empowered. Do you get my point? You see why I'm not relocating to America? There's work to do here. Plenty of work. Everyone, let us give God thanks. I still have work to do this night. The Lord is good.